want to talk to you about words for a new year. And just a short passage of scripture to read, 2 Corinthians 13, 11 to 14. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these last words. Be joyful, grow to maturity, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace, then the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet each other with a sacred kiss. All of God's people here send you their greetings. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Well, as we start this new year of 2025, I again just want to say thank you for your support, for volunteering, for helping, your giving, and all that really is appreciated, and you really make this church what it is. And so may there be blessings on you, may you experience grace, guidance, and the Lord's favor in your life. May you have a year of breakthrough, a year of answered prayer, a year of greater encounters with the Lord, and may the Lord prosper you in every way and in ways that you've never expected before. Now, when we usually come to New Year, usually people make new commitments, new desires, a striving to do things better than we did the year before. And that also usually goes into spirituality as well, that we endeavor to do better in our Christian walk. And so that's a good thing. We definitely want to be doing that. And reading in the book of Corinthians, I came to the last words of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church here that we just read, kind of caught my attention. And I really thought, you know, these are some good words for us to apply to ourselves as a church for this coming year. You know, there's always areas in our lives where we can do better. And there's always things that, you know, are important and that we need to remind ourselves that, hey, this is what is important. And I think that these last words here are a good place to start, of things that are important for us to be concentrating on and make sure that we strive to do a better job in all those areas. We want to be a church and a people who betray true Christian principles and lifestyles. We're not a perfect church, but we are a church that's striving to be better. And that's what we want to be. We want to keep doing a better and better job every year. And we want to be that church that does reach out to people, reaches out to our community and our world, that we might share the faith and tell other people about Jesus Christ, that they also may get to know Jesus. And as we enter a new year, I think it's appropriate that we can look at some things that can guide us, or some words that can guide us as we start this year. And that's why we're looking here at the Apostle Paul. He was dealing with some major issues in the Corinthian church. He's been talking to them. They were doing some great and wonderful things, and they were doing some things that weren't so great. And so he's encouraged them to get back on track with living the faith. And as he comes to that, to his final letter, the second letter of Corinthians, and he's closing his remarks, he kind of gives us these last words to tell the church, these are some important things that you need to remember, that you need to keep doing. And so they're kind of the basic truths of Christianity that we need to apply to ourselves, and things that we need to apply here as a church as well, because they're important things to live by. And the very first one he says is, be joyful. Be joyful. We are called to be joyful. Now, that might be, sometimes you think about that, and if depending on your circumstances and life right now, you may be there, and you may not be there. But the Bible is calling us, we need to speak to ourselves at times that we are to be joyful people. We're to be happy people. We're to be glad people. We're to be people of delight. We're to be people excited about our faith and excited about life. And so Christian people should be happy people. And that's something that it doesn't just happen. It's something that you usually work on and that is important in our lives. It's interesting that that word joyful is used 283 times in the scripture. So kind of telling us, you know what? Rather something that's important for us. And our portrayal of our faith and life should be a joyful one. People should see from our world, should see that we are joyful people. And after all, we do serve a God who is alive and well, And he gives us hope. He gives us joy. He gives us peace. He gives us forgiveness. There's so many things that he does for us. There should be a joy in us just because of who we believe in and who is there to help us. Philippians 4:4 says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Sometimes you need to speak to yourselves and you need to look for areas where you can rejoice even when you're going through troubling times. Because we're to be a people of joy. We're to be joyous people. Now, I realize that sometimes life can bring some things that will challenge that joy. Even in living in the Christian life, even living in church, sometimes there can be attacks on our joy. And church life or life itself is not always fair. It's not always perfect. And just as you see in the Corinthian church, if you want to read about some things that go on in church, read the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians. And so we need to protect ourselves and to be careful that we might keep the joy. And to guard against anything that can come into our lives that will rob us of our joy or take our joy away. And so there is a work that we all need to do to keep the joy. And so we need to be careful in that, guard ourselves in that. And the way that we keep that is by keeping the focus on Jesus. Keep looking to Jesus. He is your hope. He is your answer. He is your protector. He is your joy. We need to keep looking to him. The prophet Nehemiah, he was reminding the Israelites as they were going through all these things where they're being forced to move to other countries and the battles that they were taking, even some of them that were coming back to build the temple. And he was telling them, there's a way to keep your joy. And he says that in Nehemiah 8:10. He says, don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you're needing strength today, if you're going through something today that's really tough and is really hard, joy can be that answer. And the joy comes from the Lord. Not necessarily from yourself. It comes from the Lord. He will implant that joy and that happiness inside of you. But we need to keep that focus on him. So that's something that's very, very important. And then sometimes, you know, we go along in life and sometimes we mess ourselves up. We do things we shouldn't do. We go places we shouldn't go. And sometimes just things happen in life. It's not anybody's fault. Things just happen. And sometimes that can be attack you in that whole area to rob us in our joy or to waver us and losing that joy. And if you find yourself that that's where you may be at, that your joy is being attacked right now, or you've lost the joy, well, the answer is the same way. Keep looking to the Lord, because he's the one that will sustain us. He's the one that will help us, even when we ourselves are the ones responsible for missing up that joy. The answer is still the same. Seek the Lord. I like the psalmist David. We've been encouraging you to read the book of Psalms during January. And you need to read about, 5-6 chapters a day to get that done, or a little bit more. 10 minutes or so a day will get you through that. But as you read the Psalms, I really like them because they're an encouragement to you. If you're down or discouraged, the best book in the whole Bible, I think, is the book of Psalms. Because in there you'll find people that share their experiences where they were frustrated, where they were hurt, where they were broken, where they were betrayed. All those things are in there, and you'll get to see how they came out of those experiences. And listen to what David did. Now, David, he had that affair. He was involved with murder, and so some very big things. But notice what he did. He noticed that there's something he can do. And he cries out in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. I like that last part where it's just simply is crying out to God and say, God, restore my joy. My joy is gone. Life circumstances have taken my joy away. And so we need to cry out to the Lord because he's the giver of joy. And he can grant us that joy once again. And so a key to lasting joy, stay in a right relationship with God. Seeking him, following him. And that's where the joy is. And, you know, Christian joy is something that is important. The Bible says the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. And so joy is right up in there at the top and very important in our lives that we keep the joy. And if we start to feel the joy leaving, get back to the Lord, get seeking the Lord and ask the Lord, restore that joy unto me. But as Christian people, as we enter into a new year, may we be a joyful people. May circumstances, situations be turned around that will bring the joy back in our lives. And so, first thing, first word to apply to ourselves. And then secondly, the Apostle Paul tells us that we should grow to maturity, grow in our faith, work hard to be a true follower of Christ. Other translations speak of aiming for perfection. Now, none of us is probably going to reach that area of perfection, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't aim for it, that you shouldn't try to do better, that to keep working on our spirituality. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. You need to grow in your faith. You need to grow in your place that you become mature in your faith. 2 Timothy 2:15, this is what Timothy says. He says, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker. One who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. So we need to remember that you have to work at your faith. It doesn't just happen. You know, you start with maybe a word of prayer where you're welcoming Christ to come into your life, but it doesn't stop there. You need to keep working at your faith and establishing that relationship with the Lord. Studying the Word of God, getting into the Word of God. That's what we're trying to encourage you to do, to read the Word. And so this month we're encouraging you to read the book of Psalms and to go through that. 150 chapters, most of them are very, very short. There's only one real long one that Christopher spoke about, and that was a couple of weeks ago. And so great passage to read. As you read the Word of God, it's going to make you stronger in the faith, help you be more mature in the faith, help you grow in the faith. Another area that helps us to grow in that faith and become more mature is to keep those times of prayer. Again, we're entering into a new year. Often people have times of prayer, and we already have a number of things going on this week where we will be praying, and we need to keep praying, keep seeking the Lord. If you've gotten away from a regular prayer life, as we're into this year of 2025, it's a great time to say, I'm going to take care of it this year. I'm going to get back to a regular time of prayer because that's going to help me in my faith, going to help me become more mature in my faith. And so that's really is important. 2 Peter 3:17 to 18 says, you already know these things, dear friends, so be on guard. Then you'll not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. Rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All glory to him, both now and forever. We need to realize that, you know, there's battles that we're going to have to fight. There's going to be temptations that we're going to have to resist. There's going to be times where people are going to challenge you in your faith. So you need to know your faith, that you may not be deceived, that you may not be led astray. We value the Bible in this church. We think the Bible is very, very important and that everything needs to be done according to the Word of God. It's important to us. And so we encourage you, get into the Word. Get to know God better. Do everything you can to grow in the faith. And, you know, don't be satisfied with just a little knowledge. Don't be satisfied with just that, you know, I opened up my heart to Christ, you know, 10 years ago. But have you done anything since then? We want to keep that relationship strong. We shouldn't have to keep going over, you know, the same old things, the same basics. We should be more mature in the faith. That's what Hebrews 6 tells us. Verse 1, it says, let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding, Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. And so it's not saying that we avoid the basics, because people, we do need to keep in remembrance the basics of our faith. But we should be growing. We shouldn't be just staying where we first came to faith in Christ. We should be growing in that faith, becoming stronger, becoming stewards of the word, becoming people of prayer, people of passion, people of faith that encourage others in the faith. So as Christians, we're to grow to maturity, being fully developed in our faith. And so again, another word that we can take and apply to ourselves: let's become mature in our faith this year of 2025. Let's work at becoming and growing stronger and stronger in our faith. Then thirdly, there's this word to encourage one another. In other words, lift up one another, comfort one another, build up one another, support one another, help one another. Basically, that's what church is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a place of encouragement, and where we take the opportunity to encourage one another. Don't leave it just to me, or to leave it to the person that's on the pulpit, or the people that are playing the instruments to be your encouragers. We're all to be encouragers. And may I encourage you as well, come to church early. And when church is over, don't be in a hurry to leave, because that can be opportunities for you to minister to other people, to encourage other people. You don't have to be a real super spiritual saint to tell that some people are struggling. And if you would look around this room, even you were shaking hands, you might have kind of felt, you know, man, something's going on over here. Well, why don't you go over and ask that person, hey, how are things going today? Can I pray with you? Or maybe the Lord might give you a word of knowledge. Maybe God might give you a prophetic word. Maybe God might use you to bring healing to that person. We need to be open to that and to encourage one another. And I know that, you know, trying to fit everything into just a church service is pretty hard to do. Come early and ask the Lord, Lord, direct me some people today. I want to encourage somebody today. Or after the service, just kind of sit there for a while and just say, Lord, just direct me to some people here today that could use some encouragement. Because you know what? I guarantee you something. There's lots of people in here today that need encouragement. They need an encouraging word, and they're looking for that. I'm hoping that maybe through this message, that might be something that encourages them. But I tell you, when we as individuals start stepping out and encouraging one another, man, it makes church a really great place to believe. To be. And so want to do that. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, so encourage each other and build each other up just as you're already doing. And I know we got a lot of great encouragers in this place that do speak words of encouragement to one another, that take the time to notice things and to be praying and encouraging one another. Well, we want to keep doing that. We want this church to be a church of encouragement, where not just encouragement comes from the pulpit area, where encouragement comes from every area in the church. And that's something we need to continue to do, something that's very important. And we need you. You're part of this church. You're here in this church. You have value. You have something to share. You can help somebody. And I know sometimes you think, oh, what could I say? Sometimes just asking a person how they're doing is a big deal. But be willing to be used of God in that area. You know, I wish we all could be, you know, better in tune with the Lord, that we would catch everything, because, you know, sometimes, even on a Sunday, a person can come to church and leave church the same way they came in. And we don't want that to happen. We want people that come to church, leave changed, leave encouraged, leave with something good because they came here today. And may I add too, you know, a local church is a great place to come and be encouraged. You know, so often people avoid church when life is difficult, when life is hard, kind of stay away from church, don't want to be part of church. Well, friend, that's where we get encouragement. That's where we get strength. That's a place we need to be, because God uses people just like all of us to speak words of encouragement to other people. Hebrews 10:25 says, let's not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now the day of his return is drawing near. And I think that's so very important as a church. We want to be an encouraging church. We want to be a people who encourage others. And so I look to you to help me and to help our church to be that kind of a church, that you would be sensitive enough to maybe just take a few moments to look around sometimes in a room. Or if you're feeling the Spirit of God stirring something inside of you, to look where you can minister to somebody, to speak a word of encouragement, a word of help to somebody, or maybe sometimes a person that just might need to be hugged. They don't need any words. They just need somebody to show that they care. So let us be an encouraging church. And then a fourth word for this new year is to live in harmony, be unified, be of one mind and purpose. You know, as believers, we're to work at harmony and to look for ways that we can work together. When we're in harmony, we avoid the controversies, we avoid taking sides, we avoid division, and we work for the betterment of the gospel testimony. Because our purpose really is to reach out to our world and to bring the gospel message that people might be saved. We want to be a church where people will come and say, yes, I want what they have. So we don't want to be like the world. We want to be different than the world. So often, a lot of Christians show no difference in their life compared to the people of the world. We need to be a church that's different than that. We need to be a place where people come and say, there's something different here. There's something different that's taking place here. And harmony is a big part of that. And I know we all sometimes, you know, we get distracted by our likes or dislikes. Sometimes, you know, someone says the wrong words, or, you know, sometimes an offense takes place. And we need to remind ourselves that, listen, we are called as a church to spread the gospel. We are called as a church to lead people to faith in Jesus. We are called a church to worship, to exalt the Lord. We are called as a church to lift one another up and encourage one another. And so we want to work towards that harmony in the church. And so it's really harmony is being focused on our mission to go out and share the gospel. To make sure that this is a place where people are going to hear that and where people are going to experience Christ. I like what Romans 12 says in verses 15 and 16. It says, be happy with those who are happy. But it also says, weep with those who weep. You know, sometimes as we go through life, you might be, man, this is a great day, man, I'm excited. And you might see someone else on the other side of the church that's very depressed and down. Well, what does the Bible say? It says go over and weep with them. Go over and cry with them. That's part of our calling as a church. And when there's somebody that's excited, well, don't put them down. Get excited with them. Man, that's awesome. That's great. That's wonderful. Those things are happening. But it's being ready to go wherever people's needs might be. So true spirituality and true Holy Spirit anointing really comes when we pursue harmony. Psalm 133, again, as you read the Psalms, so many great, great scriptures that are found there. Psalm 133, 1 to 11, talks about harmony. It says, how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting. You know, sometimes we just look at harmony, is it really all that important? Well, if you read this psalm, yes, it is, because that's where the anointing is. A greater anointing is going to be released when we strive for harmony within the body of Christ. Harmony leads to refreshment. There's refreshing. You'll feel a refreshing that'll come from the Lord because there's harmony among us. And also harmony leads to the very blessings of God that they will be poured out in our lives. And so again, that's another good word for us for the year, to pursue harmony. And then the last word that the Apostle Paul shares here is to live in peace, which is freedom from war, freedom from conflict, freedom from arguments, jealousy, strife. Basically, we're to work at keeping the peace. Not give place for resentment or offenses or divisions to occur. Romans 12, verse 18 says, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. You know, that's been a challenge over these last few years. With things that are going on in society, differences of opinions that everyone's been having, and that peace isn't like it used to be. Well, we need to get back to that place where there's peace, that there's a feeling of peace when people come into this place, that they will feel peace, they'll feel at home. That's important that we portray that. Now, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be easy because we do that, because it is another area where we need to work on that we might have peace. And a good thing to remind us of this is that we serve the Prince of Peace. And if we're serving the Prince of Peace, then we should be people of peace. Peacemakers. Our world needs a lot of peacemakers right now. When people are struggling and maybe they're fighting with one another, we need to be the people that get in the middle there and become peacemakers. Colossians 3, verses 14, 15 says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. We need that. We need love, and that love's going to bind us together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. That verse has a lot in there. It talks about how love changes everything. When you experience the love of Jesus in your lives, it needs to be shared. And what does that love do? Well, it brings peace to people. It brings comfort to people. It brings harmony. It brings us to be thankful. And so we want that love to be in our lives as well, to break down the walls, bring people together, bring peace, bring harmony. And harmony will always end up resulting in thankfulness. So may the love of God fill our hearts that we may pursue peace, live in peace with one another. Because that's another, it's a good word for 2025, peace. And not just peace with God or peace within ourselves, but peace in our world. There's a lot of trouble in our world right now. We need to be praying for peace in Jesus' name. So as we conclude this morning, I think these are some good last words that the Apostle Paul shared with the Corinthian church that we could apply to ourselves. And verse 11 has that in its entirety. Again, dear brothers and sisters, 2 Corinthians 13, 11, I close my letter with these last words. Be joyful, grow to maturity, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace. Then the God of love and of peace will be with you. As we pursue these things, the God of love and the God of peace will be with us. So I think those are some good words for us to apply to our lives, that we would experience more of God as we come into this year of 2025.